seen who's preaching. Oh, we're off. It's Eric. We're off. Okay, so it was great to feel all the joy that came then. Just sad to say that I have to kill that now with a dull and boring sermon. So get your thinking caps on. And it was a shame, really, because I noticed I was down to preach today. What I didn't notice was short sermon in brackets on the thing. So it's either going to be a long sermon or an incredibly disjointed one. So I'll let you discover which one it is. So I'll try and miss bits out. That video, if you notice, it said, continue the story. The bottom where it showed baby Jesus, I think it said, continue the story. And of course the story started before the creation of the world. Yet when Jesus existed as God, in the beginning was the Word was with God, and the Word was God, and that's talking about Jesus. So the story started before the creation of the world. God became a man in Christ Jesus. He grew up as a man. He was murdered and crucified as a man. And the story continues. And we continue that story. And that's what I was trying to do today, to weave sort of those concepts together. And what made me think of that, do you remember the nativity last week? I thought it was absolutely brilliant. A lot of the kids did great, and to have Doctor Who there as well, amazing. And do you remember Herod? You're supposed to be all saying Herod wanted to destroy the work of Jesus Christ, and he said, let's go into the future and stop the crucifixion, because that's where it was all going to happen. And what happened when they got to the point where the crucifixion was happening? Remember? That's it. Been practicing that all week. A force field prevented it, because that was part of God's ordained plan. Even Doctor Who couldn't stop the plan of God to die on a cross so that we could be saved. And that was part of God's unchangeable plan. And what we're going to do now is move on to growing, because that's the season next year that we'll be looking at, growing as individuals, growing in love, growing more like Jesus Christ, more loving, more powerful, more sacrificial in our lifestyles, these kinds of things. And it gave me a jolt this morning. Well, last night I went to bed, and Mabel, my new puppy, she's ever so sweet, I tell you, I put her in a little room and I said, bye Mabel, I'll see you in the morning. And I set my alarm and I couldn't wait, and I got up, and when I rushed into her little room, she'd had diarrhea. So I knelt down and cleaned. I should have changed my trousers, really, shouldn't I? I knelt down, I cleaned up. I didn't love her quite as much this morning. You know, our love is very frail, isn't it? Very dependent. So that's what we'll be aiming to do. Grow as Christians so that we love sacrificially like Jesus loved. We operate in power like Jesus operated in power. So that will be a theme. It won't come at you every week, but that will be the theme. And we'll be looking today at God's unchangeable desire. Okay, God's unchangeable plan was the cross, our salvation, but God has an unchangeable desire. It means it's a desire for us, and it means, because it's a desire, that we have to be obedient. Okay, so it's His desire is unchangeable, but we've got to respond in a way that's relevant. And I was thrilled a bit with this passage, because when I first became a Christian, this passage frightened me, yeah? I didn't like it. I tried not to read it very often. And the more I studied it, the more excited I became about it. The more joyful and at peace I felt about it. So that journey was a tremendous journey, and it's to do with Jesus' love for his children. So before I read it, just to tell you that he uses the illustration of a vineyard. Okay, so Jesus' disciples, while Jesus is teaching, they'd know exactly what a vineyard was. They'd walk past hundreds of them all around Jerusalem. So they didn't need that explaining to them. We do. How many are there in Lee vineyards? We don't really know, do we? But a vineyard was a garden, and it was specifically set aside for growing the vine. Yeah? And the vine plant would produce a rich harvest of grapes if it was cared for. You couldn't just plant it and leave it. And so they employed gardeners or vine dressers to look after the vineyard, to ensure the harvest of fruit will be plentiful. So you can see where we're coming. The fruit is the love, joy, peace in our lives, if you use that illustration. So let's have a look at John 15, verses 1 to 5. This is Jesus talking. I am the true vine, and my Father is the vine dresser. Every branch in me that does not bear fruit, he takes away, and every branch that does bear fruit, he prunes, that it may bear more fruit. Already you are clean because of the word that I have spoken to you. Abide in me, and I in you. As a branch cannot bear fruit by itself unless it abides in the vine, neither can you unless you abide in me. I am the vine, you are the branches. Whoever abides in me and I in him, he it is that bears much fruit. For apart from me, you can do nothing. Of course you can do some things, but you can't do anything that's spiritually of much use unless you're abiding in Christ. So this is the vineyard illustration. Verse 1, I am the true vine and my Father is the gardener or the vine dresser. I am the vine, you are the branches. This is an illustration of the church. And it's a lovely picture of the church, I think. We are the branches of a vine. And it is our role to produce fruit, which is love, joy, peace in our lives and the power of Jesus Christ. Jesus is the vine stem from which we receive nourishment and support. And the God the Father is the vineyard manager or the vine dresser who tends the vine branches. And the next verse, it's an interest. This is the one that caused me so much grief when I was a new Christian. And I think Trevor touched on it a few weeks ago. Verse 2 says this. Every branch in me that does not bear fruit, he takes away or he cuts off. And every branch that does bear fruit, he prunes that it may bear more fruit. Now that's an interesting one. And what he seems to be saying, Jesus, is when you're going through a bad time in your life, and we all go back through bad times, don't we? You're bearing no fruit whatsoever because you feel down, you know, the world's crushing in on you. Then there'll come a point where Jesus will just cut you off, condemn you to hell. All those promises of eternal life gone because you weren't bearing fruit. And that was difficult. And frightening, to be honest. And the more I studied theology, the more I thought, well, that seems wrong somehow. Because even a few chapters back in the Gospel of John, Jesus says, truly, truly, I say to you, whoever hears my word and believes in me who sent me has eternal life. He does not come into judgment, but has passed from death to life. And if God gives you eternal life and then takes it away, it was never eternal life in the first place, was it? That's an interesting one, that. So God is a liar if he gives you eternal life and then he takes it away. It was never eternal in the beginning. Chapter 10, verse 28, I give them, that's his sheep, that's us, eternal life and they will never perish. So what's happening is a contradiction here. I think Trevor explained last time. The New Testament was written in Greek. And it was translated into English, so they would take a Greek word and think which is the best interpretation of that word. And the word that's translated cut off can mean that, but its main meaning is to lift up. That's interesting. So rather than he cuts off every branch in me that bears no fruit, I think it's better to read it, he lifts up every branch in me that bears no fruit. Okay, he lifts up. And that fits the vineyard illustration perfectly. You see, a vine has long, weak branches. And when things are going a bit bad, they flop to the ground. And where they flop to the ground and touch the ground, they start rooting. They start taking nourishment from the earth rather than from the stem. You see where we're going? They become earthbound and fruitless. And that's why managers were employed. They were called lifters. And what they would do, they would take the weak branches, lift them up, and wrap them round the stronger branches. You see what a lovely illustration is coming now about the church? What it's actually saying, when you were having a bad time, when you were touching the ground because you're not receiving nourishment from Christ because you've cut him off, you start taking him from the earth. In other words, you start enjoying earthly pleasures. You turn away from Christ. You start enjoying earthly pleasures. You do all the things you know you shouldn't be doing because Christ is in you. How do you get out of that situation? Christ lifts you up and he wraps you around stronger branches. Okay? And that's other people in the church. People who are not going through a bad time. So far from cutting you off and sending you to hell, Jesus is actually lifting you up, finding strong branches and wrapping you around those strong branches for people to look after you, to care for you and build you up. So that's good news for weak Christians. You're not going to be cut off. It's up to the stronger Christians. And we can be weak Christians one week, stronger the next, I agree, to look after the weaker Christians. I just think that's a lovely picture of Jesus tending his church. And the second way the Father tends the vine, he says in the second part of verse 2, every branch that does not bear fruit he prunes so that it will be even more fruitful. So vine branches, when they're strong, they want to become big and long vine branches. Yeah. And when they're building all that strength up, they're not producing fruit as much. So what they used to do was cut the branches down, cut them off so they were shorter branches so that more energy would go into producing fruit. And that's what Father does to us. He prunes us. So you might be having a bad time, not because you've been bad, but because you've been good and God wants you to be better. He's pruning you. He's taking things away that you depend on, making you stronger in Christ. If you want to read Hebrews 12 verses 7 to 11 afterwards, I was going to read it but I've not got time. It talks about the father disciplining a son. And don't we respect our fathers when we grow up because they disciplined us? And yet, don't we grumble at God when he disciplines us? Yeah? And he does it perfectly so we will perfectly be restored. My dad did it the way he thought was best, and it wasn't always the best. He was flawed like everybody else, but God the Father disciplines you in a way that's absolutely perfect. He prunes you. We're nearly getting through. So, this, I think it's a perfect picture of the church, a perfect picture of how we can grow strong. But it does mean we have to keep abiding in Christ, yeah? And abiding in his church, because if you become weak, you need to be around strong Christians. So how do we keep close to Christ? Well, next year, I hope we'll encourage more and more prayer. You know, if I say I love my daughter and I never speak to her, do I really love her? No. If I don't know what she's doing, if I don't understand where she is, all these things, because I'm not communicating, then I don't love her all that much, do I? I really want her to be a part of my life. I Facebook her a lot, I must admit, but I would prefer to speak face to face and just love her, and for her to love me, which is the case, by the way. But yet we say we love God and we don't speak to him except on a Sunday afternoon at SVC. For a start, think how your father feels about that. God, your Father, you are not communicating with him. So I want to encourage us as a church to pray more. I want to encourage us as a church to read the Bible more. Many scriptures talk about having the mind of Christ, having knowledge about Christ, having knowledge about what he expects, and that comes from the Bible. very, very important that we read our Bibles more. So I want to encourage that as well. And finally, I want us to commit to church more. You know, people say, well, I can be a Christian and not come to church. Well, yeah, of course you can. How do you become a Christian? By believing in Christ and going to church? No. That's nowhere in Scripture. By believing in Christ, you become a Christian. But you'll never be an effective Christian if you're not committing to a body of believers. If you're flirting around as well, from one church to another, you're not being disciplined at all to love people, warts and all. To be there when somebody's fallen. And God wants to wrap them around your arms so that you can make a difference. Commit to church. I would say Sunday afternoon should be your top priority. I don't mean you can come every week, of course, but it should be your top priority because you are part of the vine and you are part of what God wants to do in this church. So, as we head for 2016, yeah, let's enjoy baby Jesus, but it's only a very minute part of the story. Let's remember the full story. Creation, Jesus, God before the creation of the world, becoming a man, dying on a cross so your sins could be forgiven. That's his unchangeable plan. Let's go along with his unchangeable desire for his church to be a powerful church, his church to be a loving church, his church to be a place where people who are at rock bottom can be lifted up and can be supported on strong branches. Let's be a church that makes a difference in our town of Lee in 2016. Amen? Amen? Amen. Let's pray. Father, we thank you that I got through that reasonably shortly. Father, we thank you that you are a gracious God. We thank you that you sacrifice your own dear son to die on a cross. And we thank you, Father, that you give us the power to emulate part of that you give us your Holy Spirit so that we can make a difference in the world, that we can make a difference wherever we are, that we can be fruitful Christians. We pray in Jesus' name. Amen.